and Ram vehicles, and you can shop their wide selection of pre-owned vehicles. A lot of those come with the Harper Care, the lifetime powertrain warranty. So ask them about that, because they want to take care of that vehicle for as long as you own that vehicle. We are located right here on Alcoa Highway, the Airport Motor Mile, right before you get to the airport. So come by and see us, and come by and check out their inventory, or shop it online at HarperJeepRam.com.
Yeah, I was just looking through for customers hanging out, maybe getting some service done. So they've got a really cool setup. They also have a kid setup, so they got the books, the toys to play with. If you have the kids with you, makes for a much more convenient stay when you're here at Harper Jeep Ram.
As you're trying to do math and crunch numbers, figure out what your payment is, it's not always good to have somebody, mommy, or daddy. So yeah, that's a nice little area for them to take care of the kids and you to take care of your business while you're hashing out all the details on your new vehicle.
Is there a favorite book currently for the boys at the house?
We have gotten into our very first series of chapter books. I can tell you, I'm not a huge fan. They're kind of hard to read with all the crazy things that they say in these books, but Captain Awesome. So it's good.
Ooh,
we're
like
at the
that.
Yeah, we're at the Blount County Public Library, so we've been being good stewards of checking out our books and taking really good care of them. So I would say that is, and then there's this book, it's called Dragons Love Tacos, for sure Woodrow's favorite book. You cannot feed a dragon spicy salsa, because spicy salsa gives dragons the tummy troubles, in case anybody was wondering.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I figured dragons like the fire sauce.
Well, no, because when it's spicy, it fires up the fire sauce inadvertently.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
There could be a house burning down in the book. I won't spoil it for everybody.
Well, yeah. Keep those to yourself. All right. So we got that going on as well. We're having a big time here on this Friday afternoon, a football Friday, and we'll be here until 3 o'clock at Harper Jeep Ram, having a good time. Tennessee, Alabama tomorrow.
Yeah, we were just talking off the air, and I know Brian had this question yesterday on the EA show.
Yeah.
What would you rather have, a win, if you could get one this year, a win over Alabama or a win over Georgia? Initially, when I was listening to Brian and Eric Kane have the conversation yesterday, I was like, God, I just want to beat Alabama. I mean, you know, the losing streak, how long it's gone on, the fact that you just haven't even sniffed a win versus the Tide in a long time. I just felt like that was the no-brainer choice, a historic rival. You're trying to bring some of that rivalry back into the fold. But we were just having an off-air conversation. You're like, dude, give the people what they want. Show them a win at home on homecoming. Give them the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't think there's a wrong answer. Like, if you're saying I prefer to beat Alabama, Nick Saban's team, which you haven't done in 15 years, perfectly fine with that choice. There are plenty of reasons. I said I might lean Georgia because it's at home, so your fans could see it. Like, how many Tennessee fans are going to be there tomorrow? We know Tennessee returned tickets several weeks ago to Alabama. And Tennessee fans just haven't seen many big wins at home in a long time. They've seen big games, but big wins hasn't happened much. I was trying to ask you, okay, so what's the list of the last 10 years? What are your big home wins? 2016 against Florida.
Yep.
I think that's number one.
Has
easily.
To be.
You have the 2015 win against Georgia, 2013 against Steve Spurrier's South Carolina football team. And I said 2018 Kentucky. So think about how quickly I got to a win against Kentucky for your big wins of the last decade at home. That's why I said I might go Georgia, because your fans would be able to see it in person. If you're saying, nope, just I want to end the streak against Alabama, I don't want it to be 15, I would love to beat Nick Saban, perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, I like that. I like the preface of there really are no wrong answers. It's just what you want to see. Also piggybacking on your take, which I do like, and I had not considered that criteria, you know, actually getting to be in the stadium and witness that sort of thing. That would also be following up, in our hypothetical situation, the scene that played out last week, because you're going on the road this week, by next week, going on the road to Kentucky. So from the Ole Miss game to the Georgia game, and if that would be a win, that would just be incredible. Talk about a mood swing.
Yeah, it would be a big lift. You know, also, again, beating Alabama, no matter the circumstances, could be a big deal. If you beat Alabama, are they that good?
don't do that.
No. The reason I'm saying that is you beat Georgia, you're beating the number one team in the country.
Yes.
You beat Alabama. There is a, well, you know, to the team if they were to lose this game. So, again, if you're choosing Alabama over Georgia for the one you would like to beat the most, totally get it. But a chance for the fans to get a big win at home, the atmosphere at Neyland Stadium is something that you could sell everywhere, because I would think it would be great if you could win that game. I think I would lean that way, actually, over Alabama.
Okay.
Because it'd be the, and also it'd be the number one team in the country.
It'd be the number one team. There would be
I'm guessing.
Yeah, would be so much upside. That would also mean something for your recruiting territory, going head-to-head with Kirby Smart for a lot of these guys that Tennessee has just been missing out on. So it would mean something. And then, of course, in the SEC, the division.
Yeah, either one helps recruiting, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, if Florida beats Georgia and I'm wrong on Georgia's ranking, then I guess go back in time and change it to Alabama.
Retroactively?
Yeah, okay. Retroactively have Tennessee beat Alabama tomorrow.
I still think I would like the Alabama win, and I get your points. I'm hearing them loud and clear, but there is just something about, you know, Nick Saban's not going to coach there for forever. Who cares about if you beat him the year after he's gone? If he is able to leave Alabama with a perfect win streak over a school like Tennessee, where that rivalry was actually really good when he took the job, that will just be so depressing.
Yeah. If I don't know if there was a vote that was put out or any polling, I'll bet most would go with Alabama.
I think so, especially because it is the historic rival.
Yeah. I mean, the losing streak's 14 years.
It's 14 years. And it's only been competitive twice.
Yeah.
And there's an asterisk on one of the close games.
Yeah. Now, allow me to go ahead and throw this in there for anybody who might be thinking, why not just beat both of them?
I mean, now we've taken a trip to Crazy Town. I like it.
Why are we picking? But it's a good question, because I think you can make a strong case for which would you rather beat, Georgia or Alabama.
Yeah, I just think at this point in time, you're so starved for just like a big marquee win. We also had the caller earlier this week who asked, about confidence level. Are you feeling most confident about Josh Heupel in year one versus some other coaches?
Yeah.
If he was able to pull off one of these wins, absolutely. That would blow everybody out of the water. I still go back to Butch's first year.
Yeah, best win for first year coaches. Yeah, that would be Alabama or Georgia would top any of them. But I guess the best win of first year coaches, I guess you could argue because of the setting, but it would be Butch's win against South Carolina in year one.
I think so.
The best almost win would be Derek Dooley at LSU 2010. And then, of course,
almost win.
At Auburn for Jeremy Pruitt, I think, would be his top one.
Yeah, that definitely was. And what an anomaly that turned out to be.
Yeah, that's why I think that conversation can be kind of tough. Which coach do you feel best about? Because we know how things played out for the other coaches. Like, right now, do fans feel better than they did about Jeremy Pruitt halfway through his first season or Butch Jones? I remember that Monday after the South Carolina win and the Monday after the Auburn win, fans were pretty fired up. There's a lot of wait till he gets his guys in there. And you mentioned yesterday with Butch Jones, that recruiting class looked so good, because at that point, you know, this is year one, so you had guys like Todd Kelly Jr. and Jalen Hurd, several in-state big-time players who were committed, getting ready to sign.
Yep.
So it wasn't just, hey, things look better on the field. It was also, look at what's about to come to Knoxville. So it's easier to say, well, yeah, knowing the results later on, how you felt year one.
Yeah, knowing how much you dislike the people that you're then talking about, there has to be a little caveat. But I remember the first year under Butch, everybody was fired up. And I mean, still to this point,
he's been the most successful coach.
Yeah. He's been the most successful coach that Tennessee has had since firing Philip Fulmer. So, I mean, that just is, that's accurate. It didn't work out, unfortunately. And you just hope that this regime is building in the right direction, even if it's a slower build.
It's going to take some time, unless they beat Alabama tomorrow. We'll talk more about the game coming up tomorrow, the rest of the season. Will Shelton from GameDownRockyTop.com will join us at 1:30. What coaches are saying about Tennessee and about what's going on behind the scenes in the world of recruiting, we'll update you on that. 656-9900 for you to join us this afternoon. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, Logan Ward producing for us. As we continue here at Harper Jeep Ram, we'll be here until 3 o'clock in Alcoa. We'd love for you to stop by and check out what they have going on heading into the weekend here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Football Friday action keeps rolling here at Harper Jeep Ram, where they offer a buying experience like no other. Man, the people are fantastic. Come and check them out. Bill, who's the GM here, a couple of sales managers, Mark and Corey, they've got the full hospitality for you, including the test drive off the road test track of your new Jeep, where you can really see what that Jeep was built to do. There's an awesome Jeep four-door Rubicon right outside. It's got it's like a charcoal color with black wheels. It's got some cool blue paint job on the side of it. That thing just looks awesome. But come by, check out all the options that they have for you. 0% financing right now available on select Dodge and Ram vehicles, and a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles, many of which come with Harper Care, which is the lifetime powertrain warranty associated with those vehicles. So we're right here on Alcoa Highway, the Airport Motor Mile, right before you get to the airport, and they're always open at harperjeepram.com.
We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Heather, I read a story earlier today at theathletic.com. It was put together by Bruce Feldman and Antonio Morales covering college football, and they spoke to a number of college football assistant coaches from Power Five conferences, from Group of Five, independent schools as well, and asked them a number of questions. Here's an example of one of the questions. Who is the toughest assistant coach to recruit against? There were a number of coaches, as you would imagine, that were thrown out. One of them, by an ACC coach, was Rodney Garner, who is now Tennessee's defensive line coach. He said, quote, Ronnie Garner is always the best. It's really hard to go against him, and he can recruit anybody. The second option, actually, from this coach is a former Tennessee assistant, Robert Gillespie, who is now at Alabama. But Ronnie Garner, one of the top assistants chosen by a fellow assistant coach in college football, is the toughest to recruit against.
And that's definitely what you love to hear. One, you are seeing this group play a lot like when Tracy Rocker was over there coaching defensive line and on the recruiting trail for Tennessee. And just Rodney Garner, all his years experience in the SEC, he just knows what it takes, not only on the field, but on the recruiting trail, like what it takes to win in this league. So we talked about him being just one of the best hires that Josh Heupel made all offseason. And now some of those hires are looking even better than what we initially thought. So, I mean, Rodney Garner, just an absolute stud, and need to keep working on him and Walter Nolan.
Yes, and that leads me to another question. Another question: who is the best player that you have seen in the 2022 class? And a coach from the AAC said Walter Nolan, quote, rare to have that kind of speed and quickness at his size. He's one of about only 7 kids I've ever seen practice hard every snap. High praise for Walter Nolan, who is one of the highest rated players regardless of position in the country out of Powell High School.
When we're talking ceiling for Walter Nolan and what he could become, do you see him being like a Jordan Davis, who has just become a one-man wrecking crew on Georgia's defensive line? I mean, that's the kind of potential that we're seeing in Walter Nolan, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would say high first round pick would be his ceiling.
Yeah. Holy smokes. I mean, he's just special.
And big-time player.
And they're right. And what is really, I think, also impressive, he's so athletic, and he really hasn't been in a college weight program yet. You know, I mean, this guy is starting out as a freak and could potentially just get stronger, faster, better when he hits, like, his first year of college.
A couple of other notes from the story. Recommend you read it at theathletic.com. They were asked, what does the expansion realignment do? And several coaches said, yeah, it makes the SEC stronger. They're going to be harder to recruit against. Multiple coaches saying it makes the SEC the Premier League of college football, referring to the EPL. Other coaches, what frustrates you? One coach mentioned cheating in the SEC. Another coach said getting beaten by the bag, referring to a payment to a player. I'd say that's happened. Again, comes back to the SEC, a lot of the conversation. And then one other to mention.
Sounds like sour grapes to me there, Josh. I don't know.
Maybe so. Maybe they wouldn't be allowed to give out the bag, and that was what was frustrating. An independent coach asked, which school is recruiting better than you would expect? Who has impressed you the most lately? And the coach said Kentucky. They've done a really good job. Pound for pound, they've put themselves past the Tennessee level. It's really impressive what they're doing there. And also mentioned Pitt, who Tennessee played earlier this season, but saying Kentucky has done a really good job putting themselves past Tennessee.
Yeah, I think that is legitimate. Now you're hoping with a year one Josh Heupel win over the Wildcats to kind of cool the temperature around that conversation. But we talked about it earlier. Mark Stoops has built an absolute rock solid program at Kentucky to where now they are year in and year out like the third best team in the East, you know, and then they can jump up. Could they be a one loss team consistently or a two loss team? They've had a lot of great defensive success, and they're starting to get better and better recruiting classes as the years go on. So, I mean, this is there's legs to this conversation for sure.
Kentucky's recruited well. They've developed well. They've had time to do so, and that becomes attractive to recruits. That's what Tennessee is trying to work against moving forward. We'll move forward with 90 minutes to go. I think this past week has it's required some perspective with some of the local conversation. Will Shelton always has it. He joins us next from Game Day on RockyTop.com as we continue this afternoon at Harper Jeep Ram on Alcoa Highway here until 3 o'clock on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Great thing about sports is it never stops. Here's another 60-second sports minute on The Sports Animal.
Game 6 of the ALS tonight between the Red Sox and the Astros will take place tonight in Texas. The Astros lead that series 3-2 and can clinch a World Series appearance with a victory tonight. NBA basketball games of note tonight. The 76ers host the Nets at 7:30, and according to reports, Ben Simmons has told the team that he is not mentally ready to play. He did not play in the 76ers' first game on Wednesday night. Elsewhere, the Celtics host the Raptors at 7:30, and the Nuggets host the San Antonio Spurs at 9 o'clock, and the Lakers host the Suns at 10:10. College football games tonight, MTSU versus UConn at 6 o'clock. Memphis will be in Orlando to take on UCF at 7 o'clock. Our Cumulus Knoxville Airwaves high school football games tonight on FM 99.1 and AM 990. Halls will be at Central to take off. The kickoff of that one is at 7 o'clock. And then on News Talk 98.7, William Blunt in Hardin Valley. Have a good morning or afternoon. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back to Sports 180. We're at Football Friday, having a little celebration here at Harper Jeep Ram, where they offer a buying experience like no other. Now we head to the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline, where the one and only Will Shelton from Game Day on Rocky Top joins us. Will, it's been an interesting week. I think you probably can relate to that. You had the high of Tennessee competing just toe-to-toe with Ole Miss and then how everything ended. And then, bam, you got to start focusing on Alabama and taking on just the Goliath right now of the SEC. How has this week been for you guys at Game Day on Rocky Top, and how have you kind of framed this week?
Well, certainly a ton to talk about coming out of the thing Saturday. That was one of the more unusual, like, to play such a close game with a ranked opponent and all that stuff, the fans throwing stuff on the field. You had such a separate kind of conversation there for a while, which, you know, really took away from Tennessee played really well in that game. Tennessee has played well enough, I think, in the Ole Miss game and even going back to the Pitt game, where you kind of feel like you can almost nitpick some of these things that I didn't think Tennessee would be good enough to be nitpicking anything in a loss to a top 15 team this year. So I think, you know, it's unfortunate that Tennessee's got Alabama now, because coming off of that game and all of that conversation, you'd like to just have one where you can really bounce back. But I do think there's still a degree where bouncing back it'll just look different when you're playing Alabama. But can Tennessee keep it interesting? It seems like Hendon Hooker's trending toward playing in this game. So if he does, and Tennessee can keep him healthy, I think if we saw something like we saw against Florida in this game, where Tennessee is around in the second half and that sort of thing, even that might feel like progress too. So Heupel and these guys have done a great job putting themselves in position to have meaningful opportunities this year. This probably isn't going to be one that Tennessee is going to find themselves with a chance to win late in the game. I don't think anybody really expects that. But can they keep it interesting? Can they be around? I think you want to go into the bye week next week healthy, but also still feeling good about what's happening with this program, instead of ending things so poorly last week and then, oh no, here's another blowout against Alabama this week.
Will Shelton is with us, Game Day on RockyTop.com. Yeah, so much goodwill and excitement that had built up over the last couple of weeks leading up to this past Saturday. How much will the next few weeks affect that, do you think, for the fan base as this season closes out? Of course, that Kentucky game will play a big role in that.
Yeah, that's huge to me. You know, they're off this week, and then they've got Mississippi State. So that should be, if they beat Mississippi State, that's going to be another top 15 situation. I mean, you really kind of forget because Tennessee's not in these conversations themselves this year. I mean, Kentucky, theoretically, Kentucky could go 11-1. And, you know, that this is a New Year's Six kind of conversation that these guys are having. There's also, if a couple of upsets happen, you might have the opportunity, if we're still talking about this as a winnable game, you know, a couple weeks from now, if Kentucky could somehow get to 10 between now and that game, you'd have the opportunity to beat the highest-ranked team that Tennessee's beaten in the post-Fulmer era. So there's a lot that's still there. I think for fans, it's unfortunate because that game's not in Knoxville. So if Heupel and these guys are going to cash one in this year, and it's not going to be Alabama or Georgia, then certainly you would have liked to have gotten Ole Miss. And nobody knew Pittsburgh was going to be this kind of team really when those teams played. So that still hurts a little bit. You just feel like you've missed a chance to something really special last week. But if Tennessee's healthy and Kentucky keeps taking care of business, you're still going to have a chance to do something really special there in 3 weeks. And again, all of this comes in the context of you should still have wins 5 and 6 at the end of this thing where no matter what happens, you can get South Alabama, you can get Vanderbilt, you can get to a bowl game. All of that, you know, really still would be great progress for what Heupel and these guys are doing in year one.
Will, what do you make of Tennessee's quarterback situation? You've touched on it a couple of times about the health of this team and how injuries have popped up. Just where's your confidence level going into not only the Alabama game, but just with the quarterback spot, knowing that Hendon Hooker at least was limited this week in practice?
Yeah, I think if it's not him, that you know, you're going to get kind of the brace for impact with the fan base if it's Joe Milton or, I mean, Harrison Bailey. We haven't seen him do anything meaningful in a game for Heupel. So, you know, the opportunities certainly seem much, much greater for this offense with Hendon Hooker. We wrote a little bit today. I mean, some of this is just we're still acclimating to watching Heupel, watching the pace, watching this offense, that sort of thing. But the disparity between the good that Tennessee does in the passing game, where you know Hooker's thrown one interception all year, he's highly accurate. They ask him to throw it about 25 times a game, and he does a great job. He certainly does a great job with his legs. So there's all these good things where Hendon Hooker is playing like one of the 15 best quarterbacks in the country. And then at the same time, Tennessee's given up a sack on 12.5% of their dropbacks. That's the highest percentage. I can trace that stat online a couple of places all the way back to 2002, and no Tennessee team has ever had a worse percentage than that. It's not just that they're getting sacked 3.5 times a game. This is still a Tennessee team. You know, Tennessee runs it 63-64% of the time, so there are more snaps for sure, but Tennessee just runs a lot. So when they do pass, the feast or famine nature of it is really interesting to me that you know, he's not throwing interceptions. He's not really throwing many balls that have a chance to be intercepted. He's very efficient, all that stuff, if they can keep him upright. But he's also getting hit and getting sacked at a rate higher in terms of the number of sacks per pass attempts, higher than anybody that we've seen at Tennessee in at least 20 years. And as good as this offense has been and as fast as it has been, that really killed him at the end of the Ole Miss game. When you're driving downfield to try to take the lead, you get holding penalties and a sack there late that really, you know, cost Tennessee at one of their best opportunities to win the game. So that's something, you know, you don't want to get into this game with Alabama where if you're 3.5 sacks against the average team, then you're letting Bama hit your quarterback 6 or 7 different times. That's not good. So I'll be curious to see how that plays out. But, yeah, I mean, that to me, that's just a wild disparity between the very, very good that Tennessee's passing game does and the very, very bad that you know Tennessee is doing in terms of keeping the quarterback upright.
Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. Will, before you go, do you have a favorite Alabama game or Tennessee moment against Alabama? Would it be 95, which is probably a popular choice for people in our age range, or would you go elsewhere with this series?
So for me personally, I would go the next year just because that was, you know, 95 was great for absolutely everybody. 96, again, the value of doing it in Neyland Stadium and that game in 96, the Jay Graham run there at the end. But Tennessee was bad in that game for 2.5 quarters, and that's a game where you kind of felt like, well, we got them last year, but watching it play out, it still felt like, oh, no, here's Alabama. Everything's going their way. Tennessee can't figure it out against these guys. And then all of a sudden, in about a quarter and a half, Peyton Manning and Joey Kent and Jay Graham and Terry Fair and Tennessee's, you know, all these guys just kind of brought out their very best football. And you went from, oh, no, you know, this is going to be another crushing, low-scoring loss to these guys, to Graham coming down the sideline, coming towards our season tickets are in that end zone. And so watching him run at us, that one's going to be hard to beat for me. Just the first time that you get one of these guys, you know, in person. I'm sure for a lot of Tennessee fans, no matter what happened with Butch Jones, if that Florida game 5 years ago was the first time you saw that in person yourself, man, you know, there's something about that that's always going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I think you guys bring up a good point, because Josh brought that up earlier. Just actually being in the stadium. We all remember the big games on TV, but being in the stadium,
yep,
and having that feel, that's got to give you some goosebumps there.
Yeah, I think, too, you know, when you think back to Tennessee's best wins and their best games and all that stuff, you know, the win at Florida in 01 on the road, so again, just an exceptional football game, the miracle at South Bend. Tennessee's got a lot of these in their history where some of their very best performances, the Sugar Bowl, the national championship, was outside of Knoxville. But, you know, that's why I always think with the Florida rivalry, one of my favorites is the 04 game, because that was Knoxville, and it's not such a – the 98 game with Florida is a burden on the eyes to watch. There's not a lot of great offense in that game, but that 04 game, just for folks, again, that had the chance to be there, and that, again, is a lot of that sense of loss with the Ole Miss game 2 weeks ago. But, man, if Tennessee is healthy, if they're competitive this week, and then they get a chance to go get Kentucky, there's still a lot of room out here for this team this year to get some of those memories for themselves.
Will, what is going on at GameDayOnRockyTop.com?
Expected win total machine. Tennessee is right at it's 6.45. So, like, most fans are kind of split on, is this team going to finish 6-6? Or, you know, really, the way that the schedule plays out, it's will they get Kentucky, yes or no? So it will be interesting to see where that conversation is after the Alabama game and into the next 2 weeks. So that'll be up on our site again on Monday. And I'm going to try to do some basketball next week during the bye week, so that there's lots of good Ken Pomeroy's got his data out, some early bracketology, things like that. So so we will hope to have some basketball on our site next week as well.
Check out GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Think you'll enjoy the experience. Will, we always appreciate the time. Hope you have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you again next Friday.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Will Shelton joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
I think you guys are swaying me. I think you guys are swaying me for the – if you could get one big win, which would it be? And it's, man, to be in Neyland Stadium and experience that thrill,
yeah,
and that level of excitement. Like I said, the Ole Miss, every moment of that game that we were actually there, we did not get to stay till the end because we had a babysitter situation and we needed to relieve that person. But it was just, it was magical. It was so fun. It was an electric environment. And then to also, I mean, and Josh, you know this by sitting in press row, we've seen some really good games, but you're also in a more sterile environment being a member of the media and being in the press box and having that sort of vibe going on. But being in the stands and feeling that electricity, that is special. That is definitely special.
Yep. So our conversation earlier, Georgia or Bama, which one would you rather get a win against this season? I said I'd lean Georgia because it would come at Neyland Stadium. If you're still saying, nope, want to end the streak against Bama, totally get it. 15's tough. That's what would happen if Bama wins tomorrow.
How long do you think Saban will be at Bama? You think he hits 20 years?
Another 20 years? Yeah.
No, no. Come on now. Don't do that to me.
So would he be there another 6? Maybe. I don't know. I'd probably set it like 4.5 or something like that.
Okay. So get the incoming freshmen this year, get them to seniors, and maybe he's done?
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, when it's rolling like it is, why stop? Can't stop, won't stop.
He still looks great. We'll continue on here on...
He'll tell you some D's jokes, too.
That's right. Yeah, as long as the sense of humor is there, you can keep on coaching. We'll continue here on Sports 180 today. We're on Alcoa Highway having a good time here at Harper Jeep Ram. Check out what they have here for you. You can find them online at harperjeepram.com. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Pop-up fact coming up next. It will include Bernard King. So back to the Tennessee basketball side. When we come back here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Final segment here of hour number two. It's a Football Friday. We're at a different location today. This is super fun.
Having
just
a good time,
shouts to the Air Guard here. Their plane just flew over. It's coming in for a landing at McGee Tyson. We're on the Airport Motor Mile right here at Harper Jeep Ram. They offer a buying experience like no other. Everybody's so friendly here. I just cannot get over how awesome the people are. You can test drive your new Jeep on their off-road test track. This is a one-of-a-kind. Really put that Jeep to the test and see what your new Jeep can do. They are offering 0% financing, which is available on select Dodge and Ram vehicles. And you can shop the wide selection of pre-owned vehicles. Many of those come with the Harper Care, which is their lifetime powertrain warranty. So they want to take care of that vehicle as long as you own it. Again, we're right here on the Airport Motor Mile. Before you get to the airport, they're always open as well online at harperjeepram.com.
That's right. We have a little more than an hour to go. We will be here until 3 o'clock this afternoon. It's a Football Friday, getting you ready for the weekend as we have high school football tonight, Tennessee football to get ready for tomorrow night. 7 o'clock kickoff for Tennessee on the road against Alabama. Vol Network coverage will begin at 5:30, and we will have game day all day coverage all day long leading up to it. Plus NFL coverage on Sunday. We'll have Sunday Sports Sound Off, the NFL report, and a Sunday NFL broadcast during the afternoon right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. So a big football weekend coming up, but basketball leads us into today's pop-up fact.
It's time for today's Sports 180 pop-up fact of the day. A quick look at a did-you-know factoid.
Heather, Steph Curry, an above-average basketball player with an above-average performance last night. He scored 45 points. He has the third most 45-point games among NBA players age 33 or older. Steph Curry has six now since turning 33.
Okay.
He is only behind Michael Jordan, pretty good, who had 11, and Bernard King, who had eight games of 45 points or more after turning 33.
I do think if there was a big orange Tennessee time machine and you could go back and watch any like sports year that I just wasn't either alive for or like an adult for, like had a working mind, the 85 Sugar Vols would be on there, but the Ray Mears, Ernie and Bernie years too. Would definitely, especially some of those Kentucky matchups between Tennessee and Kentucky, like take me back to one of those games. I just think that would be incredible.
Yep. So Bernard King, he is, when conversations from the NBA come up and best scoring forwards or sometimes most underappreciated players, that kind of conversation, those who know, Bernard King's name comes up very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, he is very well respected in NBA circles, which is incredible because sometimes I forget or I feel like people, maybe we don't put him on the high enough pedestal that he deserves to be on here at Tennessee.
He's an all-timer at Tennessee and in the NBA with the best of the best all-time players. So quite a note there, Steph Curry, and obviously ongoing. I bet he has at least one more 45-point game as he's off to quite a start, a triple-double against the Lakers and then 45 points last night against the Clippers. The third most 45-point games after turning 33, only behind Michael Jordan and Bernard King. Our pop-up fact is presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
Burton McKinnish Law, with offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, and Southeastern Kentucky. When you have family law troubles, divorce, criminal defense, DUI, Social Security, or personal injury, it's time for you to trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com.
We have another hour of Sports 180 to go. We'll catch you up on what's going on today. We'll continue to get you ready for